Genesis 3:8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God, as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They hid from God. As I remember as a child, and I'll bet every one of us here at one point in our lives played hide and seek. It's a fun game, right? I mean, I think some of us would still do it if we thought we wouldn't like break a leg or something, but hiding, hide and seek, it's fun. But as we read this account, and we're going to read a little more in Genesis chapter 3 here in a little bit, as we read it, we notice that Adam and Eve tried to hide from God. So as I read that, when I read stuff, questions pop into my head. So of course the question that come up, am I hiding from God? Or are we hiding from God? What are we trying to hide? And not only what, why? Adam and Eve, of course, were hiding out of fear, out of shame. They were hiding from God because they ate the fruit that they were commanded not to eat. And so they were hiding from God. And so we're going to recap a little bit of the story of Adam and Eve. I know most of you know it, but there's some things to it that it's always good to be reminded of or think back and look at. And of course, we know God created Adam, and he was in the Garden of Eden, taking care of all the animals and the trees and what have you. And the Genesis account in Scripture is very, oh, it's just very warm and friendly, and there was no sin at this point. Very nice. I mean, it just sounds like Adam would sit around all day and by the stream and enjoy the grass. It'd never need cut, but it'd never grow, but it was always green. Them are just kind of the things I picture as I picture Adam in the garden. All kinds of fruit to eat, animals all around. Just a neat place to be. But Adam, of course, Scripture tells us, was lonely. God created us to be around people, to be with other people. Even if we're an introvert or an extrovert, we still need to be around people. Some of us like to be around more people than others, but nonetheless, God has placed within us this desire to at least be around people. Some may be one or two core people. Others love big groups of people. But we're made to want to be around, to socialize. But Adam was lonely, so God created Eve, put Adam to sleep, took rib from his side, and this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and I will call her woman. We all know the account. Eve and Adam now are a couple in the garden taking care of things. And of course, the Bible says the serpent comes along and convinces Eve to eat from the fruit from this tree. We call it an apple, but actually Scripture just says fruit, forbidden fruit. And the serpent convinces Eve to eat it. And she takes a bite. And this is where I want to speculate a little bit. I think that as she takes a bite, I think she realizes her eyes were open and she sees good and evil and she realizes something's different. Something's off and I can't take that back. So I'm going to convince Eve to do it, or Adam to do it as well. So we're both in the same boat together. And she convinces Adam. He takes a bite of the fruit as well. And now they're hiding from God. They're hiding from God. And that's where we're going to pick up. I'm going to read Genesis, the rest of, we're going to say verse 8 through probably 17 now. So if you want to follow along, you can. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I have commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, this is the part, had to be a long couple of weeks in this family. The man said, "The woman you put me here with, she gave me some of the fruit of the tree and I ate it. It's not my fault, it's hers. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? Eve does the same thing, tries to pass blame. The serpent deceived me and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. To the woman, he said, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Most of you are saying, thank you, Eve. Your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you. To Adam, he said, because you have listened to your wife and ate the fruit from the tree which I have commanded you, you must not eat of. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. Obviously, they messed up. Adam and Eve messed up big time. They, without a doubt, made a huge mistake. And what is their natural response when they make a mistake? It's the same response we have when we sin. Hide. They, of course, the mistakes they made. One, they disobeyed God by eating the forbidden fruit. Of course, then, as we read through that account, they messed up because they tried passing blame. It wasn't my fault, God. It was hers. She made me do it. Eve says, God, it wasn't my fault. The serpent made me do it. We still fight. That is a picture of temptation there. It is still Eve's fault. It is still Adam's fault. The serpent was just tempting him. Same thing we face today. And when we give in to temptation, we can try to pass the blame, but it is with us. It's on us. It's our fault. But I want to focus today on the fact that they hid from God. That's what we're going to look at for the rest of the time, that they hid. Natural response for all of us is to hide. But it's kind of silly when you think about it. They hid from God, but they had knowledge now of good and evil. So I would speculate that they knew that God is omniscient, meaning he knows everything, he sees everything. And we still understand this too today. We know this. We know there is nothing we can hide from God, yet we still try to. Some things are easy to hide. In our house, it seems to be the checkbook. Hides all the time. We search for it. How many hours you spend this week looking for it? Yeah, we hide. Things hide. Car keys, there's another good one. They hide from us. That's why camouflage. Camouflage is made to help us hide from things. My snow shovel hid under the snow all winter this year. Found it when in the thaw. But some things we can hide from each other. But we can't hide anything from God. Think about that for a minute. Think about it. Think about that. We can't hide things from God. Yet we try to. It was back when I was on the fire department in Ohio. Little kid was playing with matches and he lit his stuffed animal on fire. Natural response. Same response we have when we sin. He tried to hide it. Tried to hide it under his bed. It was a bad day for that family. Fortunately, they didn't lose everything. But we do the same thing. Have you thought of that? Have you thought of that when you've messed up? When we all have. I'm just as guilty as the rest of you. That we try to hide. We try to hide a lie. We try to hide sin with a lie. And then another lie, and another lie. And it builds to the point where we have all these lies stacked up. We don't even remember what truth is anymore. And it's all because we gave in to temptation in the beginning, just like Adam and Eve did. We choose, when we sin, we choose to hide. I want to read a little something that was written by John Ortberg. And this was in his book, God is Closer Than You Think. And he writes, a little girl discovered the secret of making mud one day, which she called warm chocolate. After Grandma cleaned up the mess, she told little Larissa not to make any more chocolate. The little girl soon resumed making her chocolate, saying sweetly, "Don't look at me, Nana, okay?" Nana, being a little codependent, agreed. Larissa continued to work in the mud. 3 times she says, "Don't look at me, Nana, okay?" Thus, the tender soul of the little child shows us how necessary it is to us that we be unobserved in our wrongdoing, writes Dallas Willard, a professor in the School of Philosophy at the University of Southern California. Anytime we choose wrongdoing or to withhold doing right, we choose hiding as well. It may be that out of all of our prayers that are ever spoken, the most common one, the quietest one, the one that we least acknowledge making is simply this: "Don't look at me, God." It was the very first prayer spoken after the fall, when God came walking in the garden to be with the man and the woman and called, "Where are you?" "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid," Adam answered, "so I hid." "Don't look at me, God. Don't look at me, God." And we try to hide. When we mess up, we try to hide. But then we get this knot in our stomach quite often. And we get this feeling that we can't ignore. God uses the Holy Spirit to convict us. That's one of the benefits of having the Holy Spirit, is we really know when we mess up, right? I know I do. And we see these disgusting things that have taken place in this world, and you wonder, how could somebody live with themselves after doing that? And we don't understand it all the time, but they can live with themselves because they don't have the Holy Spirit within them, convicting them, keeping them from doing these sort of things that we have. It's that feeling of shame we get, of disgust with ourselves. And we get that when we mess up because of the Spirit living within us. And we try to hide. We try to hide. We try to block it out of our mind, when really all we have to do is say, "God, I messed up." Get on our knees and say, "God, I am sorry. I repent of my sins." And we're forgiven. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He, meaning God, is faithful. He is faithful and just and will forgive us of any sin and purify us from all our unrighteousness. All we have to do is say, "God, I messed up." Instead of building one lie on top of another or blaming others like Adam and Eve tried to do, all we have to do is say, "I'm sorry." And God will forgive. And look at how God responded to Adam and Eve. Have you ever stopped and thought of that? There's always consequences, and I know I talked about this before. There's always consequences with our decisions, good or bad. But how God responded to Adam and Eve was, they still had consequences. Adam, of course, now has to work hard for his food. That's basically what that was saying. The ground, you have to work the ground. When they were in the Garden of Eden, the food was just provided for them. Now they have to labor for it, and it is Adam's responsibility to provide for Eve. But her punishment, or I don't even want to call it punishment, her consequence was pain in childbirth. There's consequences for all of our sins. We don't need to hide our sins because we're forgiven, but we still need to understand that there is consequences that come with them. Second part of this morning that I want to talk about when it comes to hiding We hide often because of our sins, because of decisions we've made. But we also hide for another reason. And lots of people throughout the Bible have hid for this. Because we hide because God might want us to do something. God might want us to do something that we are really uncomfortable with, that we don't want to do. I know for me, when I started feeling called into ministry, I tried hiding. And it's foolish because I know that God knows everything, sees everything, and in the end, he's going to get us to do what he wants us to do. But if I hide, if I don't pray as much, if I don't acknowledge these feelings I'm having, then maybe I can hide. I know it's pretty foolish, but we all do it. We all do it. And in the end, God will get us where he wants us. And usually, if not always, when we're there, when God finally gets us there, it was so much better. It's kind of looking across the field on the other side of the fence and seeing all brown, but when we actually get there, it is greener. For me, it was. But we try to hide from God. One of the reasons is because we like to be comfortable. We like comfort, right? We like things to be normal, to stay the same time and time again. And some of you right now are probably squirming a little bit because we're doing things a little different. I'm not standing up front. I'm not standing up there where you can be comfortable because you're used to it. Because it always happens that way. We like to be comfortable. But there's another thing we like too. We like to be in control. Some of you guys that are leaders in the church probably want to yank me back up there and be in control right now. But we like to be in control. It's our nature. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when we give in to God, when he asks us to do something, whether big or small, we give up a little bit of that comfort. We give up that control that he has, that we have. And really, if you think about it, when it comes down to it, it's almost a test of faith. It's how much faith do we have in our God? Do we have enough faith to recognize that even though I can't see the big picture, that God knows what's best for me, wants what's best for me, and will not put me anywhere that I shouldn't be, yet we still want to resist at times. We still want to resist. We don't want to give fully in to what God wants us to do. And it could be something big. It could be ministry, that God's going to call you to move your family for miles away. Or it could be as simple as picking up that person you see walking down the road that you know needs a ride. Or it could be as simple as praying for somebody. When you're sitting there and God throws somebody in your mind and you think, I should pray for them. Stop and pray. Could be that simple. We don't have to hide from God. Because when it comes with the all-knowing and the all-seeing, when it comes with that, God knows what he's doing. And he won't put us anywhere that we can't handle, that he won't be with us. Jonah is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. And I say that because I think I can, when I read Jonah, I can relate to that very, very well. What did Jonah do? God called Jonah into ministry, right? Called him to go to Nineveh and preach the gospel, bring judgment upon the people there. And so Jonah says, okay, I'll do that. And he runs as far and as fast as he can to the shore, jumps on a ship to another land. I'm not going to do it, God. I'm going to go hide from you. How'd that work for him? Not real well. Not well at all. He tried hiding from God, running the other way. Maybe if God don't notice me, I can get out of here, and I won't have to do what he wants me to do. So Jonah jumps his ship for Tarshish. I'm getting my words jumbled here. But he's on this ship, and why you think you could hide in an ocean where God controls the weather is beyond me. But we all do silly things when God's calling us to do something we don't want to do. And so Jonah's on this boat, and the waves are crashing. And in the account in Scripture gives us that the crewmen are throwing things overboard. They don't worship the same God Jonah does, but they're throwing all kinds of things over, just trying to keep the ballast right of that boat so it stays above water. Because they don't have big diesel engines in these things. They're rowing these boats. Or they're using the sails. And at this point in a storm, the sails are probably down. So they're trying the best they can to control this thing. And they finally give up and they say, okay, we're going to draw a lot here, draw straws, and see who is causing this. And of course, when they draw, Jonah gets the short straw. And they know it's him that is causing all this stuff. And so they tell him, what do we do? And Jonah says, throw me overboard. And probably if it was me, I'd have said, okay, you're gone. But they didn't do that. Did anybody read that and catch that? These people don't worship God, but yet they didn't want Jonah's life on their hands. They didn't want his life on their hands. And so they finally agreed to do it, but said that we'll do it, but please don't hold us accountable for this. Because they're recognizing the strength that Jonah's God has, that our God has, because if he can control the weather, kind of scared him a little bit. And so they throw Jonah over. He ends up on land, and he ends up going and preaching judgment against Nineveh. And God, the gracious side of God, shows up. God ends up using Jonah to save thousands of people. The town of Nineveh was spared because of what God called Jonah to go do. Not only that, if you read in Scripture, the sailors on that boat were also saved. It's a beautiful thing. God ended up using Jonah to save thousands. Jonah ended up being one of the great prophets in the Bible, if you take into account all the people that God spared, that God brought his grace to because of that. The first few chapters of Jonah show a God that is harsh and that wants to bring judgment because these people were so far away from him. This is the whole testament of the Bible, the whole theme. Judgment and then redemption. The last few chapters of Jonah is all full of God's grace, saving those people that were lost. So there's two reasons we hide from God, two main ones. And that's what I'm going to end with today. Hiding because of mistakes we've made in our life when all we need to do is repent. Or hiding because we really don't want God to notice us because we want to fly under the radar and not have to give him control and give up that comfort. Let's pray. Father God, Lord God, your grace is so much more than we can ever begin to think of, begin to dream of, or imagine. God, thank you. Thank you for your Spirit living within us, bringing us to our feet at times, or to our knees at times, and repenting, bringing us closer to you. And we thank you, Lord, that your grace is there to wash us clean. We thank you that Jesus came and took our sins for us. Or if we're hiding, God, because we don't want to give up that comfort in our life or that control. Lord God, I pray that as painlessly as possible that you can open our eyes and see that you know so much better than we do. Lord God, thank you for this day and the love you've placed in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.